Thank you. Lord, welcome to those who are watching online. We're glad that you are taking part in the service. It always does my heart good to see you in church. You know, we feel like a family. Well, we are family, but you don't get to know, like, some family members are, like, distant, but getting to know the people in this church, it's wonderful. Just feel such a sense of community, and we love to see you every Sunday morning. We're glad that you're here. We pray and we trust God to speak to your heart and just minister to you in every way you need. Amen. And we just want to welcome everyone who is visiting for the first time today. We love having visitors in our church, don't we?
Yeah.
And if you are here for the first time, we'd like to just honor you, welcome you. Our ushers, our handsome young ushers, are standing with gift packs, visitor packs. They'd like to just give you one. If you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we can see you? God bless you. Welcome, welcome. Anyone else, just raise your hand. Thank you so much. They'll get one to you. And in there's a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We put it in there hoping it'll be an encouragement to you. And there's also a white card. If you just take a moment, fill that white card out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by. Just drop that white card in, and it gives pastor an opportunity to call you. Just find out how you enjoyed the service. So we appreciate that. Amen. I just want to read you one scripture. I was reading Matthew this week, and you know, we come to church, we come to worship God, we come to fellowship, but we come to hear the word and receive from the word. And I love the way I was reading in the Passion Translation, and Jesus said this. He said to his disciples, he said, you've been given the intimate experience of insight into the hidden truths and mysteries of the realm of heaven's kingdom, but they have not. He's talking about the Pharisees. They didn't have it. You've been given intimate insight into heaven, the heaven's realm. And he says, for everyone who listens with an open heart will receive progressively more revelation until he has more than enough. Amen. Do you know there's a way to listen to the word of God? There's a way to listen with an open heart that more is revealed to you.
Amen.
Every time. I mean, how many times have we heard something taught, and then we're listening with the eyes of our, with the ears of our spirit, and suddenly more is revealed to us. Suddenly we understand it better. Suddenly it makes so much sense.
Amen.
Then down in the same chapter, I'm just going to read three verses, but verse 23, Jesus was given the story about the parable about the seed being sown on the ground, and I won't explain it all, but verse 23 says, as for the seed that fell upon good, rich soil, it represents the hearts of people who hear and fully embrace the message of heaven's kingdom realm. Their lives bear good fruit. Some yield a harvest of 30, 60, even 100 times as much as is sown. So when we have a heart that fully receives the message, the word of God, there's fruit that abounds in our life, right? And lastly, he said this, Jesus said, every scholar of the scriptures who is instructed in the ways of heaven's kingdom realm is like a wealthy homeowner with his house filled with treasures, both new and old, and he knows how and when to bring them out and to show others. So us filling our lives up with the word of God today, hearing it with an open ear, receiving it with a heart that's open, it is like filling our house with treasures.
Yeah.
That there's treasure that is in our houses because of what we receive from the word of God. So I just encourage you to listen with an open heart, to fully receive what God's word comes at us today. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise God. Thanks, Pastor.
All right. Good. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to say, first of all, well done by not letting the time change stop you from being in church today. I do not like the time change. In fact, I heard a rumor that they are considering abolishing it in Florida and staying with the same time. I pray, Lord, that that happens in Jesus' name. And even if we're the only state in all of America, I would love it. But the truth of the matter is, let me tell you, when you're committed to the Lord, it makes no difference what time changes.
Right.
It makes no difference time change. We can have 6 a.m. You committed, you'll be there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you all, I guess you all committed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well done for being here this morning, and especially those who are here on time. Well done to you. We did give you a few extra minutes this morning, so if we're running a little bit late, but we start a little bit late, so let's just chill today. What do you say?
Yeah.
You gained an hour, so just chill. With good news. Lost? Did we lose an hour? Lost an hour. All right. We'll get it back. How many of you heard the good news? What am I talking about? This week, on Tuesday, we closed on our building. We are now the owners of 1224 Indian Town Road. Used to be the Girl Scouts building. And Tuesday, we closed, you know, on Sunday night. On Friday, last Friday, they sent me the estimate of what we'd need, the closing costs. And it was $10,000 more than what they had previously told me. And so Sunday night, we didn't have more money to close. And I had to tell them we can't close Monday. And then the Lord spoke to somebody, called me, said, "Can you meet me?" Brought a big check, and we closed on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God. So then I want to say thank you to all the workers who came out yesterday to help us. We had a work day, demolition day. If you ever wanted to swing a sledgehammer, this was your day. You missed it. But I want to say thank you to all the workers. We did it. We got a tremendous amount done yesterday. They cleared a lot of the building. We filled up a dumpster. And there's Bruce. He was working like
crazy.
There's Corinne. Kicked it all down. One kick. There being. I can't do physical labor, by the way, just that I have pictures to prove it. It's very. It's me. There's the dumpster filled up. Praise God, there's Nick up on the ladder. Chris in the wheelchair. You ain't got no excuse. Are you in a wheelchair? Harrington, Ray, Perry, Kurt, Tom. Yes. Thank you to all. We have such great people in our church, don't we?
Amen.
Praise God. There we go, Patrick. Matt. Is Matt here today? He told me he's going to go work at the building. I said, "Come to church, Matt." He said, "I'm going to go work." I said, "No, you leave church." But he might be over there building. He's like a beast. He's a worker. All right. Is that it? Praise God. So thank you to all of our workers. Chris Birch back there. He is our general contractor. He's a member of our church for many years, and he's been a general contractor in this area since 1987, over 30 years. And you know, the Bible says that when God told Moses to build him a tabernacle, that the Lord also brought skilled artisans, skilled workers. And you know, the Lord has provided for us. This building has been absolutely supernatural every step of the way. You know, from the time that we lost our building on Center Street in foreclosure in 2016, and I really didn't know, I didn't know what we were going to do, but the Lord, he had it all under control. And we got the phone call from Joe Siegel. He said, "I own a building on Indian Town. I want to sell it to you." And it's just been supernatural. We didn't have to have a bank involved, no loan involved. He's been so super to us. And God has just provided every step of the way.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And so I believe that Chris, I don't believe it's an accident. I believe the Lord has brought Chris into our church to help us. Because, you know, I spoke to a contractor when we first were looking at this project, and they quoted me $500,000 to do the renovation. Their estimate was $500,000. And let me tell you, we're going to do it for a lot less than $500,000.
Yeah.
The Lord is just bringing people. We've got people in our church who are going to be helping. Chris is going to be helping. And so what we're going to be doing, you know, we're going to be paying every week as the work progresses, as the finance comes in, we'll be able to continue. I would love to be in there by June. But it's going to, I believe the Lord is able, because we probably would have to raise about $120,000 to $150,000 by June, and that's like $50,000 a month over and above our normal income. But I believe God is able to make a way somehow, in some way. You know, let me tell you, when a couple in the church came to me, they said, "Pastor Steve, pray with us. We want to give $15,000 to the new building." And they didn't tell me the whole story. I came to, and so I just prayed. We just prayed. I didn't know any more than that. And they came to me just this last week. And so, you know, what happened is we were part of a class action lawsuit. You know, when sometimes you get those emails and for class actions, and do you qualify? And they did something that had happened years ago. So anyway, long story short, they started this class that or became part of this lawsuit like 3-4 years ago, before they even were part of this church, 3-4 years ago. And wouldn't you know, it just would happen. They got an email last week saying there's a check in the mail for $150,000.
Yeah, baby.
Check in the mail, $150,000.
Yeah.
There's the $15,000. They came and said, "Pray with us. We want to give $15,000 to the building." And here you go. Here's a check for $150,000. You see, if you sit here and say, "You know what, Lord? You've got to get the funds into this church." How many know God's going to use His people?
Yeah.
Right? God's not going to use the mafia. God's going to use His people. So if you sit and say, "Lord, I want to give. I'd love to give $10,000 or $5,000 or whatever it is." Let me tell you, God, if you'll trust Him, He'll make a way to get this funds to you. Because He's looking for people that He can bring finances to His kingdom. How many of you know this is God's house?
Yeah.
We're building God's house. It's not Steve's house. It's God's house. And He's providing. Amen? So thank you, everyone who has given. We appreciate it. And we just keep trusting God with us. What has happened so far, where's that list I had? Is it in my Bible? Of what we've done so far? Here it is. Oh, what we paid so far. $75,000 deposit on the building. We are paid up our mortgage until 1st of September. So we don't have a mortgage payment until 1st of September. We've $4,000 to do traffic surveys, $13,000 architect, $15,000 legal fees, $2,000 of web design, $7,000 permits, $45,000 closing costs. I mean, the Lord has provided all this every step of the way, and I believe He's going to continue to provide. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Amen. We are excited. We're excited to get into our new home. We're excited to get into a new building. Now, if you don't know this, I have announced this, but you may have missed it. And that is that when we move into our new building, which we are hoping and trusting it will be in June, we actually are going to be launching a new church. We're going to be launching Ascend Church. And the reason it started out is, you know, about 18 months ago, I was sitting with Ed Trout, Prophet Ed Trout, and we were having lunch, and he said, "You're going to change the name of your church." And when he said that, I thought, why? It's the last thing in the world I'm thinking about doing. Why would I want to do that? But then what happened is, because of the foreclosure on our building and the bank still has a deficiency judgment against us for like $1.5 million, my lawyer said to me, "Look, if you buy this building as Christian Family Church and you go in, the bank can come after that building. And I don't want to get in another legal battle with the bank." The last one went on for 4.5 years. So his advice to me was to start a new a new church. And so I spoke to Pastor Theo because I came out of Christian Family Church, the first one to be sent out. We were associated with Christian Family Church. There's 850 Christian Family Churches around the world, and we're part of it. But I explained the situation to Pastor Theo, and he said, look, Steve, you know, I would do it if I were you. And I believe, so it started out that we're starting a new church because of the building, but now it's built from there. I believe this is a new season. This is a new chapter. This is a new beginning. God's doing something new. And so Ascend Church, when we're moving our building, we'll be moving in, we'll be starting Ascend Church. And just to let you know, on your seat today, when you came in, there's two giving envelopes. And I just want to point this out to you real quick. There's a red envelope and there's a black envelope. Now the black envelope is for giving your regular weekly tithes and offerings to Christian Family Church, because of course we still, you know, we've got operating costs every week. Just to be in here this morning is like $3,000 just to be in this hotel. So your normal tithe and offering is for the black envelope. But anything you want to give to the new building, I'm going to ask you to use the red envelope. It says Ascend Church, and you would then make your check to Ascend Church, because we bought the building in the name of Ascend Church. And all of the expenses and all the bills are going to Ascend Church. So anything for the new church is in the red envelope, and anything your regular tithes and offerings is in the black envelope. Everyone with me so far?
Yeah.
Now I want to quickly show you one video, and then I'm going to get into the Word of God this morning. But I want to just show you this video real fast, 2 minutes. Show the video of Ascend, would you? Thank you.
Mary, we are so excited to be launching Ascend Church here in Jupiter, Florida, coming this spring. We are standing outside of the building that we've just purchased. This is on Indian Town Road. It's the main street through Jupiter. And this is the future home of Ascend Church. We're busy renovating it, turning it into a state-of-the-art facility. Now, why do we call our church Ascend Church? Well, the word ascend means to go up. It means to move to a better place, to rise to a higher position, or to shoot to the top. And that is our heart's desire, our passion. We want to help you to elevate your life, that you would become everything that God has designed you to be. We offer a message of hope. Our church is part of Joel Osteen's Champions of Hope Network, and we proclaim a message of hope. Jesus is our hope. He's the hope of the world. We're a Jesus people. We're not a religious people. Ascend Church is a contemporary, non-denominational church that welcomes everybody. We're all about people. Our people are so friendly, so welcoming. We really hope that you'll come and check us out. Right, Joel?
Definitely. You know, we have a passion for all people from all walks of life, because that's the way Jesus was. He was welcoming of everyone. And so we look forward to meeting you. Also, at Ascend Church, we have a fantastic children's ministry. From birth to 12 years old, your children will have so much fun while learning about Jesus. And we love visitors. Even if you're not a regular church goer, we'd love to meet you. We'd love to get to know you. We'd love to welcome you at Ascend Church.
Absolutely. You know, our teams are all in place. We're ready. We're excited. You know, one of the things I love about our church, Ascend Church, is the music. We have such great musicians and singers. I love the music. If you're looking for a church with inspiring, practical teaching that will help you in your life, if you're looking for a church that will really care for you and your family, then Ascend Church is the place for you. We really hope to see you soon.
Praise God. I'm excited. How about you? Are you ready for God's word this morning?
Yes.
Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that your word is what brings us wisdom. It brings us direction. Your word brings us hope. It causes our faith to rise up, Lord. And I just thank you today, Father, for your anointing. I acknowledge that I am depending and trusting in you to help me and to anoint me, to speak through me, Lord. And I thank you that you carry your word to every person's heart, and you cause faith to rise up big, and you remove all doubt and all unbelief. Thank you, Lord, for bringing revelation and understanding, dispelling all confusion. And we give you alone all of the praise for everything said, for everything done. in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
This morning, I want to speak to you this morning about stay seated or take your seat. You may wonder, what does that mean? I am seated. Well, just hang in there. You can understand. You see, in the Old Testament, the priest had to go into the temple at certain times of year, and he had to make sacrifices for the people's sins. That's how they had forgiveness. It was all based off of works. And there were no chairs in the tabernacle. There were no reason for seats because the priest couldn't sit down. You know, they lived under pressure. Their work was never done. Another sacrifice was always required. But when Jesus was crucified, he said on the cross, "It is finished." And he was talking about the old way of having to constantly work for God's goodness. The scripture says this in Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 11. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. And then he sat down. Say, sat down. He sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. Now, Jesus sitting down is a picture of rest. It's done. It's completed. You see, under the old covenant, the priests were constantly working, trying to cover the sins, you know, trying to be good enough, trying to make things happen. But under the new covenant, Jesus is sitting and resting. And here's the beauty. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 verse 6, it says, "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, because we are united in Christ." So the Bible says, after Jesus rose from the dead, after he went into the heavenly holy of holies and presented his blood once and for all as one single sacrifice that would cover and remove the sins of everybody for all time, then he sat down. And we are seated with him. That means there is a place of rest, a seat of rest that belongs to you. You do not have to go through life all wrought up on the inside, worried about your finances or trying to make a family member do what's right, or frustrated because this dream hasn't happened yet. You need to do yourself a favor and take your seat. Enter into the rest that God has for you. Amen. Because let me tell you, when you live seated, you are in peace. You may have problems, but you know God is fighting your battles. People might have done you wrong. You're not trying to pay them back. You know God is your vindicator. He will make your wrongs right. You're at peace. You're in rest. You know, maybe you're struggling with an illness and the medical report doesn't look good. You could easily be upset, worried, and anxious, but instead, you stay seated. You know the number of my days he will fulfill. You know the Lord is my healer, and he will restore my health.
Thank you, Lord.
See, David said in Psalm 27, in verse 1, he said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. He protects me from danger. Whom shall I fear? When evil men come to destroy me, they will stumble and fall. Yea, though a mighty army marches against me." The New Living Bible says, "Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart shall know no fear. I am confident that God will save me." You see, David was saying, even though everything has come against me, even though an army surrounds me, I should be worried, I should be upset, but I know a secret. The battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's. So I'm going to take my seat.
Yeah. Amen.
See, when you try to make everything happen in your own strength, you try to pay people back, you try to fix this problem, you live worried about this child. Listen, when you stand up, God steps back. As long as you are working, he will rest. But when you take your seat, God will stand up, so to speak. God will go to work. That's why God told the children of Israel again and again and again, be still and you will see the deliverance of the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, here's some scriptures. Look what the Lord said to the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 14, in verse number 13. It says this, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see no more forever. The Lord will fight for you. And what shall you do? You shall hold your peace and remain at rest. If you want God to fight your battles, you've got to get to that place where you live in peace and you live in rest.
Amen.
Isaiah 30 verse 15 declares this. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says. Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. It's only when you rest in me, then you'll be saved. Psalm 46 verse 10, be still and know that I am God. The Passion Translation says, surrender your anxiety, be silent and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. Hebrews 4 verse 10 says this, for though all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their own labors, just as God did after creating the world. And the Passion Bible says, as we enter into God's faith rest, we cease from our own works, just as God celebrates his finished works and rests in them. It says, notice this, we enter into God's faith rest life. You see, when you're really in faith, you're in rest. If you're not in rest, you're not in faith. God is saying, take your seat. I got this. I'm bigger than what you're facing. That doesn't mean we don't do anything. We just sit back passively all day. No, we have a part to play. Are you with me?
Yes.
You know, like with our building, the Lord opened the door. The Lord caused Joe Siegel to see me on television and prompted him to call me up and said, I've got a building I want to sell you. But how many of you know, I still had to meet with lawyers, I still had to meet with attorneys, I still had to meet with architects, I still had to help design the building. We had to go there yesterday. The Lord wasn't tearing walls down yesterday. We were tearing walls down, but we were doing it from a place of rest.
Yeah.
See, when you talk about rest, people think, well, I don't do anything. That's like the setup team. Thank God for our setup team.
Yes.
Amen. We get here early and set up. That's like our setup team saying, Pastor said we must be at rest. So we stayed in bed today. The Lord's going to set up for us. And then it doesn't work like that. We have to pray. We have to believe. We have to praise. We have to dream. We have to give. We have to do whatever God tells us to do. But we do it from a place of rest. See, you can work hard and have a rest on the inside. Knowing you're doing your best and God will do the rest. God will get you where you're supposed to be.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
It's not when you're working hard, but you're frustrated, you're fearful. You're thinking, oh, when am I ever going to get any good breaks? Why isn't this changing? Why is everybody passing me up? No, take your seat. Work from a place of rest.
Yeah.
Know that God's favor is on your life. That he is breathing in your direction. That goodness and mercy are chasing you down. You see, inner rest is as important as outer rest. Your physical body may rest, but if your mind never rests. Some people go on vacation, but their mind is still going the whole time. See, if you live all wrought up on the inside, fighting against everything you don't like, that's going to wear you out. Even things that we should stand against, like an addiction or a sickness or a dysfunction. If you're always in fight mode, under pressure, thinking I've got to change this, constantly working, it's going to drain your joy. It's going to drain your energy. You're living under the old covenant, under works. Well, if I can work hard enough, if I can make myself change, if I can make this problem go away. No, your heart is right, but your approach is wrong. Why don't you approach it from a place of rest? God, I can't change this on my own. I need your help. I'm going to be my best. But God, I know you're the potter and I'm the clay. And in your time and in your way, thank you for helping me to change.
Yeah.
See, instead of doing, The right attitude is done, done, done. It's finished. Jesus paid the price. God's already defeated every enemy. God's already planned out your days for good. Now take your seat. Live from a place of rest, a place of peace, a place of trust. Are you with me? That's what this is all about. This entire life is about learning to trust God. And if you don't get it right the first time, you get to take the test again. And some of us have been taking that test for 56 years. We're still doing the same test. All God wants is you trust Him. The Bible says the Israelites, they did not enter into the promised land, even though God said, I've already given it to you, because they wouldn't enter into this rest. The Bible says in Hebrews 3 and verse 19, so we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter His rest. Do you know unbelief will keep you out of the rest of God? Are you with me? They allowed the things they saw to steal their rest. Because they saw giants. They sent spies in the land. And the spies came back and they said, man, it's an amazing land. Oh, the fruit is so amazing, so great. But we've got a problem. There are giants in the land. And there's no way we can defeat them. We cannot take the land. They allowed those giants to steal their rest. Family, let's not make the mistake, the same mistake they made. I don't care what giants are in your life. Don't look at the giants. Look how big your God is. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 and verse 1, now God has offered to us the same promise of entering into His realm of resting. Resting in confident faith. That's a good way of putting it. I'm talking about resting in confident faith. So we must be extremely careful to ensure that we all embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. Wow. Hebrews 4 verse 3 says this, for only we who believe can enter His rest. You see, the only way that you can enter into this place of rest is through faith. It's when you believe God. It's when you trust God. It's when you have faith. If you're in rest, you're in faith. If you're not in rest, you're not in faith. It says in the Passion Bible, for those of us who believe, faith activates the promise and we experience the realm of confident rest.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Hebrews 4 verse 6 says those who first heard the good news of deliverance fail to enter into that realm of faith's rest because of their unbelieving hearts. Yet the fact remains that we still have the opportunity to enter into this faith rest life and experience the fulfillment of the promise. We have the opportunity to enter into this life of faith rest where you live from a place of rest. You live from a place of peace. No matter what might come against you, you know God is fighting my battles. He is my vindicator. He is my provider. He is my healer. He is my protector. He is my victory. He is my lead. He's my God. He's everything that I need. I'm blessed. You see, the Israelites, they didn't receive everything God had for them because they wouldn't enter into this rest. And let me tell you, we will not receive everything God has for us. And we will not become everything God created us to be until we learn to enter into this place of rest and live in rest. To enter into rest is to enter into faith. To be in faith is to be at rest. That's why the Israelites could not enter the promised land because of their unbelief. See, when you are at rest and you are at peace, it shows you are really in faith. You really believe in God. Are you with me? That's what shows you really believe in God. You're not worried about it. You're not concerned about it. Pastor Steve, you need $150,000 to fit the building, man. If I were you, I'd be lying awake at night. I haven't lost a wink of sleep. I just know that God has got this. Lost our building on Center Street in 2016. Have you ever lost anything in your life?
Yeah.
Me too. And the enemy brought all these thoughts to my mind. He tried to get me to be anxious. He tried to get me to be fearful. He told me, Steve, there's no way you're going to get another building now. No bank is going to loan you money. This is the end of your church. That's what he told me. He tried so hard to pull me out of rest, but I chose to stay seated. I chose to take my seat. I said what the enemy meant for our harm, God is going to turn it around for our good. Is anyone mad for me saying that? I said we're going to come out of this with a better building, in a better location, with half the monthly payment. Anybody said that? My mind said to me, Steve, how on earth is that ever going to happen? But I didn't listen to this. I kept trusting God down as well. I refused to live upset and worried and anxious and bitter. I stayed in rest. I held my peace. What's the use of worrying? Worrying never changed anything. Jesus told us not to worry about our life. Don't worry what you're going to eat. Don't worry what you're going to wear. He said, the birds of the air, they don't worry. I provide for them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? You were not created to carry these heavy burdens. You were not created to be weighted down with worry and stress and frustration. God never created you to live under these burdens. That's why some people have health issues. People have digestive problems, high blood pressure. It's because there's no inner rest. They haven't learned how to take their seat. On the inside, they're constantly worried, constantly anxious, worried about their child, worried about their finances, trying to figure everything out, frustrated because it's taking so long. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
Amen.
For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy to bear. Some people say, oh, Pastor Steve, it's hard to be a Christian. Oh, it's so hard to be a Christian. Let me tell you, it's a lot harder not to be. If it's hard to be a Christian, you're not doing it right. The Passion Translation, I love the Passion Translation. It says it like this: are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me, and I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I am gentle, humble, and easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me. For all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear.
Amen.
God's not putting heavy burden on you. Amen?
Amen.
Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I'm God. And the Passion Translation says, surrender your anxiety, be silent, stop your striving, you'll see that I'm God. That infers if you're not still, if you're not seated, you won't really know that he's God. You won't really see God move in your life like he wants to. You won't see his favor, his blessings, his goodness like you should. And when things come against you, like with me, it's easy to let your mind constantly play all the what ifs. What if it doesn't work out? What if the report's not good? What if they don't change? What if this doesn't happen? Remember, when you are working, God is resting. If you'll start resting and turn that over to God, then he'll start working. Because he sees what's happening. Let me tell you, he knows how big the challenge is. He knows who did you wrong. But the good news is he already has the solution. And he's not just going to bring you out, but family, he's going to make the enemy pay. And he's going to bring you out better off than what you were before. And you're going to do your part. Take your seat. Stay seated. Quit trying to figure everything out. For some situations, let me tell you, there is no logical situation, a solution, I should say. You've got to turn your mind off in one sense. The scripture says it like this in Proverbs 3 verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. The Message Bible says it like this. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Don't try to figure it out on your own. The Passion Bible says, Don't rely on your own opinions. Some of us, we rely too much on our own opinion or our friend's opinion. Well, my friend said this, or my friend said that, or my friend think. What does the Word of God say? That's what I care. What does God say? I'm going to listen to what He says. It's okay to say, God, I don't see how this can work out. I don't see a way. But don't stop there. Follow it up with, but Lord, I know you have a way. I know this is not a surprise to you. I know you have the solution before I even have the problem. So Lord, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to live from a place of peace. Are you with me?
Amen.
David said, Mark 12, verse 36, David himself said, and the Holy Spirit was speaking through him when he said it, God said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And he was, that's quoting Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies my footstool. Now, how many know a footstool is something you put your feet on? Right? That's a footstool. You put your feet up. How many of you know someone sitting down with their feet on a footstool is a picture of rest? Right? God could have said He'd make our enemies like grass so we could walk on them. But God used a footstool to remind us to stay at rest. See, when you face challenges, things you don't understand, things that are not fair, one of the first things you need to do is put your feet up. Come back to that place of peace. You have to do this by faith. Because every voice will tell you why it's not going to work out. You're not going to get well. You heard the diagnosis. Your family, you know, not going to get restored. There's too much strife. That's the enemy trying to deceive you into standing up. He'll do everything he can to keep you from staying seated. You know what I mean by that? From staying in peace, from staying at rest. He knows when you're seated, when you're in peace, when you're trusting God, he doesn't have a chance. When you look from a place of rest, all the forces of darkness cannot stop you. God has the final say. And it might have been meant for your harm, but God is going to turn it into a footstool, not just a place of rest, but instead of it being a stumbling block to stop you, it's going to be a stepping stone to take you to the next level. I really believe that. I believe what the enemy meant to try and stop our church is being turned around, and it's going to backfire on the devil, and we're going to end up much bigger than ever before. Because we're not on Center Street and some side street. We're on Indian Town Road now. And we're going to have flags flying. Everyone's going to know. What is that? The same church. Hebrews 4 verse 11 says this. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Lest anyone fall by the same pattern of unbelief. Now, that may seem like a contradiction. Labor to enter into rest? Doesn't that seem like a contradiction? I've got to labor. I've got to work to enter into rest. But God used the word labor because He knew it's going to take work to stay seated. Because it's easy to stand up. It's easy to get offended and try and take people back. It's easy to live worried, discouraged by problems. That's why it says you've got to labor to enter His rest. It's going to take some effort. Are you with me? In fact, the NIV says it like this. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following the example of disobedience. The Passion Bible says, so then we must give our all and be eager to experience this faith rest life so that no one falls short by following the same pattern of doubt and unbelief. This is one of the few times God tells us to work. It doesn't say work to straighten out your neighbor. It doesn't say work to make the problem go away. It says work to stay seated. Work at staying in rest. You've got to make every effort to stay in that place of rest. Are you with me this morning? Maybe you're trying to break an addiction. Yes, you have to be disciplined. Yes, you have to be determined. But if there's a war going on the inside, where you're upset with yourself, you're frustrated because you're not further along. You're trying to force it to happen in your own strength. You're not tapping into the grace of God that's available. You're like that priest that had to make the sacrifice again and again and again. No, listen, you're under the new covenant. Christ has defeated every enemy. The price has already been paid. Jesus said, it is finished. You're not working to get the victory. You are working from a place of victory. You're enforcing the victory. And when you know you've already won, there's a rest. You don't have to live worried. You don't have to live anxious. You don't lose sleep at night. You know the outcome. God says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Thank you, Lord. You always cause me to triumph. And it may not turn out every time the way that you thought or on your timetable. But let me tell you, the Bible says God's ways are better than our ways.
Yeah.
And this is what trust is all about. What I'm saying is when you live from a place of rest, you not only will you enjoy your life so much more, but God will make things happen that you could never make happen. God will go to work for you and fight your battles and do things that you could never have done on your own. Because being in peace and being in rest, that's what enables the Lord to fight for you.
Yeah.
In 1999, the Lord spoke to me to leave South Africa and move here and start a church. And we were living in Cape Town. We were pastoring a church in Cape Town. We started that church in 1991. The church in Cape Town exploded. It grew very fast. In a few years, we had thousands of people attending in just a few years. When we started the church here at Palm Beach Gardens High School, the church barely grew. For 6 years, I mean, it's like, it barely grew. We had 50 people attending. I had friends of mine who were pastors would ask me, Steve, what are you doing? Still pastoring that little church. You've got thousands of people in South Africa. We've got 30 staff in South Africa. Why are you still pastoring that church? They meant well. But let me tell you, sometimes your friends can be discouraging. Because they will say, Steve, why don't you stand up? Why don't you make something happen? Why don't you try to do it in your own strength? My attitude is, I'm going to keep doing what I know God has asked me to do. I'm not going to be frustrated because it's not growing. I'm not going to slack off because it hasn't turned out my way. I'm going to take my seat. You see, these are tests that we all have to pass. And one of the tests we have to pass is being faithful.
Yeah.
When nothing is changing.
Right.
Doing the right thing when it's not growing. It's easy to get frustrated. You know, Lord, I've got bigger things in me. Why isn't it changing? But no, you need to keep your seat. God is watching you. God sees your faithfulness. And He sees you doing the right thing when it's hard.
Yeah.
And at the appointed time, let me tell you, in your due season, God's going to catapult you further than you ever imagined. You're not falling behind. You are being prepared. God is getting you ready. Everything you went through deposited something on the inside. Those delays made you stronger. The fact that you're not as far along as you would like to be, that was ordained by God. Those people that didn't support you, the people that walked away, you couldn't become bitter. Instead, you stayed seated. You kept your peace. Now get ready because your time is coming. God has something bigger than what you can imagine, more rewarding than what you think. He's going to exceed your expectations, family.
Yes.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
You see, sometimes the reason we're frustrated is because we're comparing ourselves to other people. You know, our church in Cape Town grew so fast. I hope the same thing would happen here. But it's foolish to compare. It's tempting to compare yourself with someone else. I mean, I could look at Voo Church in Miami. In 3 years, they've grown to thousands of people. I could get frustrated, upset, unhappy, comparing myself, wondering why we haven't. But I would rather live at a place of rest and a place of peace and follow God's plan for my life.
That's right.
Amen? The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, he said, not that we have the audacity to class ourselves or even to compare ourselves with some who exalt and furnish testimonials for themselves. He said this, however, when they measure themselves with themselves and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding and behave unwisely. It is unwise to ever compare yourself to somebody else. Let me tell you, comparing yourself to others will pull you out of peace. It will pull you out of rest. You've got to run the race that God has for you. See, sometimes the reason we're frustrated is because sometimes we're trying to change things. Only God can change. You can't make people do what's right. You can pray for them. You can encourage them. But they've got their own free will. Don't let them steal your joy and your peace. You are not responsible for other people's happiness. Did you hear what I said? You can't keep everyone in your life happy. You are responsible for your own happiness. And I don't mean to live selfishly, don't misunderstand me. But sometimes we take on this false sense of responsibility. We think we've got to keep all our neighbors happy, we've got to keep all our family happy, we've got to keep everyone that we work with, all our co-workers happy, all our friends happy. I've learned some people don't want to be happy. They just want your attention. They want you to cater them. They want you to come running every time they call. If they don't, they'll make you feel guilty because you didn't meet all their demands. What they really want is to control you. Don't fall into that trap. Listen, be nice, be kind, be helpful, but don't be a doormat. You have a destiny to fulfill. You have an assignment. It's very easy to let people cause you to stand up, to lose your peace, to live frustrated. No, listen, sit back down. Stay at rest. Stay seated. You cannot become who you are created to be if you're trying to please everybody around you. You've got to draw that line in the sand. You've got to say, I'm sitting down. I'm staying in peace. I'm not going to let people who won't take responsibility for their own happiness make me feel guilty and try to control me. Yeah. Now listen, I'm a nice person. I know I sound kind of mean right now, but let me tell you, I will go the extra mile for people. But some people are just high maintenance. They will drain all the life, all the energy, all the goodwill out of you if you allow them to. See, they're not being disciplined to manage their own life and their own emotions, and they expect you to keep them fixed. But you can't fulfill your destiny. You can't accomplish your assignment unless you put up some boundaries and not let people pull you out of rest. Make you feel guilty, get you upset, like you have to keep them happy. That's a codependent relationship. They can't be happy without you. That's not healthy. You should be nice, but be firm. The Bible says you have to labor to enter into this rest. God wouldn't have said labor if it wasn't going to be uncomfortable at times. And I know maybe you're like me. You don't want to hurt people's feelings, but you are not doing them a favor by catering to them. Amen. You are enabling their dysfunction. That's keeping you from moving forward in your life. You've got to set some boundaries. I'm not going to come running every time they call. I'm not going to change my plans and not spend time with my family to go help them for the 15th time this month. Some people are alarmists. Every time they call, it's a major crisis, a major emergency. You've got to be dealt with right then. I don't know about you, but I've got enough drama in my own life. I don't need someone else's drama. There are some people you cannot stay seated with them in your life. If you don't make an adjustment, you'll be frustrated the next 20 years. You should be respectful, be nice, be kind, but put up some boundaries. Well, Pastor Steve, what if they get upset? What if they don't want to be my friend? Say, thank you, Jesus. They did you a big favor. Here's the bottom line. When you get to heaven, you're not going to answer to people.
Amen.
You're not going to answer to people about what you did with your life, how you spent your time, how you spent your money, how you used your gifts. You're going to answer to God. And your destiny is too important to let people control you. There's a lot of things in life that we cannot change. We can't make people do what's right. We can't make ourselves get well. We can't make a dream come to pass. But we can change our approach. We can choose not to let these things upset us. We can make a decision to take our seats and stay seated. When someone cuts you off in traffic, it's tempting to stand up. It's tempting to get upset. Let me show them. Blow my horn. Listen, man, they've already moved on. They're already in the next lane. You might as well sit back down. Don't let a stranger pull you out of rest. It's not hurting them. It's souring your name. Yeah. None of these things are just simply tests. Are we going to let these things upset us? The same people get on our nerves. The same delays sour our life. My message to you today is very simple. Stay seated. It's a very freeing way to live. When you know God is all-powerful, He's in control and He is for you, He's directing your footsteps, it takes off all the pressure. You can live calm, in peace, at rest, not fighting against everything that you don't like. When you have a disappointment, maybe that medical report isn't good. I'm not going to worry, I'm staying seated. God is my healer.
You have a setback in your finances. Maybe you lose a big client. Every voice will tell you, you should be upset. That's not fair. But if you listen, you'll hear that still small voice down on the inside, God saying to you, stay seated. I'm working behind the scenes. Payback is coming. Abundance is on the way. I wonder how much more you would enjoy your life if you would learn to live from this place of rest. In the scripture, it compares a believer to an eagle. And I'll come to a close with this. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The New Living Translation says, those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. It's interesting how an eagle handles challenges. One of the eagle's biggest pests is a crow. When the eagle is flying, the crow will come right up behind the eagle, fly right behind it and pester it, do things to annoy the eagle. Even though the eagle is much bigger than the crow, it can't turn as fast as the crow. So instead of fighting the crow, getting upset, trying to defend itself, the eagle simply stretches out its wings, its 8-foot wingspan, catches the winds, and just rises higher and higher. An eagle can fly at heights that no other bird can fly. And at some point, that crow is going to have to fall away. It can't breathe at that altitude. Eagles have been seen as high as 30,000 feet. And that crow just falls away. In the same way, how many of you know we all have some crows in life? Some chickens and turkeys too. People that want to irritate us, get on our nerves, do things to try and bait us into conflict. It's easy to get upset, try and straighten out every crow. But remember this, you're an eagle. You can go up higher. You can fly where the crows cannot fly. But if you stay down at their level, try and straighten out every crow, get involved in conflicts that really don't matter, that'll keep you from your destiny. Let me tell you, the crows, the chickens, the turkeys, they're simply distractions. When an eagle faces a storm, when there's bad weather in its path, it doesn't bury its head and try and force its way through the storm and fight the winds and fight the rain. Again, it catches the thermal winds. And it goes up higher and higher and higher until it flies above the storm. And you know what? Like eagles, we all face storms. We all have difficulties. But the key is to rise above it. You don't have to fight your way through it. You don't let it get on the inside. Remain at rest. Remain seated. And God will fight your battles. Too often we are fighting when we should be resting. We're standing when we should be sitting. And yes, I know we all have to stand strong, but I'm talking about in your spirit. Even when it's stormy all around you, even when the storms of life are raging, things happening you don't understand, you need to have a rest knowing God is still on the throne and He is bigger than anything that you are facing. And let me tell you, when you're an eagle, when you've learned to rise above the challenges, you'll be at peace when you could be upset. You'll have a smile when you could be discouraged. You are showing God you trust Him. You are staying seated. You are taking your seat. Amen? Yeah. Have you ever gone home after a long day? And maybe you're standing in the kitchen. Maybe you're talking to your spouse or talking to your kids. And after a while you say to them, you know what? I have to get off my feet. I'm tired. I need to sit down and relax. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Well, maybe today you need to get off your feet. You're worried about your health. You're stressed out over your finances. You're upset because that child hasn't changed. Why don't you come back to a place of rest and peace? God's got it all figured out. Those enemies you're concerned about, those obstacles, let me tell you, they're not going to stop you. They're going to become a footstool for you. Instead of laboring to try and fix everything, I'm asking you to labor to enter into this rest. You were not created to carry those heavy burdens. There is a seat of rest with your name on it. And you might have been standing for a long time, but God is saying, take your seat. Live from a place of rest. Work hard. Do your best. But on the inside, stay at peace. Because if you'll do this, family, I want to tell you right now, in the name of Jesus, I believe, family, that you are not only going to enjoy your life so much more, but I believe God is going to bring dreams to pass in your life, that problems are about to turn around, that health and wholeness and favor and victory, the fullness of your destiny, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you that you fight our battles. We thank you, Lord, that if we will just stay at rest, if we will just live, stay seated and just trust you, Lord, you fight our battles. You do what we cannot do, Lord. You are bigger than any problem. You are bigger than any challenge. We thank you, Lord, that you are our provider. You are our healer. You are our deliverer. You are our protector. We thank you, Lord, that you cause us to triumph. You cause us to have victory in every situation. In the name of Jesus, if you agree, say amen.
Amen.
And amen. Give God praise for you today. I hope that this message was an encouragement to you today. I'm really speaking to you from where I'm living right now. What's happening? I mean, this whole thing with me, with the building, and I just have this peace. I just have this rest. Even on Sunday night when we were short to be able to close on it, I just said, you know what? God's going to make a way. I wasn't worried about it. I just have this rest on the inside. And you can live like that too. That's how God wants you to live. Jesus said, come to me if you've got burdens. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
Are you glad you got up on this time Sunday and came to church? Huh? Just say this right now. Say, Lord,
Lord,
I am staying seated.
That
means I'm living in rest. I'm casting all my burdens, all my worries on you. I thank you, Lord. You always cause me to have the victory. I thank you, Lord. You're fighting every battle. You're my vindicator. You take what the enemy meant for my harm. Turn it to my advantage. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Preach myself happy again.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, as you heard me say, as we get ready right now, in fact, this is what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to ask you just bow your head for a moment if you would. Can I ask you just to close your eyes for a moment? Is David around today? Is David here today?
Yeah.
Monique?
Yeah.
Someone on the piano there? Just bow your head for a moment if you would. Just close your eyes while heads are bowed and while eyes are closed. We never ever conclude a service without giving people the opportunity to make sure that all is right and all is well between them and God. Listen, if you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, if you're not sure if all is right between you and God, I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain, you know without any doubt, you know for sure if you die today, you know you go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I die today, I hope I go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such a church. Well, listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you, if you died today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can know that for sure. You can leave here today and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. That every mistake, every sin you've ever committed is forgiven and is washed away. You can know peace beyond what you ever could imagine. You can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven that awaits us. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. I want to pray right now. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're sitting, while we have our eyes closed, this is between you and God today. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. Because I want to make sure, when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to know that all is right, all is well between me and God. Pray for me. If that is you, dear friend, I'm going to ask you quickly, right now, just lift your hand up. Just slip your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer. Just don't be shy. Just lift it up right now. Say, include me, Pastor Steve. Pray for me. God bless you. All right, look at me. I don't see any hands. Look at me for a moment. Now, praise God. My wife usually does a wonderful job of sharing the scripture before we give to the Lord. But I'm going to do it this morning real quick as I can. And the scripture that I want to share with you is in Exodus 35 and verse number 5 as we get ready to give. Did you manage to get this one ready? Exodus 5, it says verse 5, take a sacred offering for the Lord. Notice that. Take a sacred offering for the Lord. Do you know that giving this right now is sacred? I know some people think, offering, okay, time for me to go to the bathroom. Not a bathroom break. This is sacred. This is as sacred as anything we do in the service. Take a sacred offering for the Lord. Let those with generous hearts, I'm so glad that our church is so generous. And everyone that was generous said amen.
Amen.
Let those with generous hearts present the following gifts to the Lord. Gold, silver, bronze, goes on. List all the things they brought. This was the offering that Moses was receiving to build the tabernacle.
Amen.
God's house. And he said, come all of you who are, verse 10 said, come all of you who are gifted. Gifted craftsmen. Construct everything the Lord has commanded. The Lord has brought some gifted craftsmen into our church.
Amen.
To help us. What would it cost us $500,000 if we used another contractor? We're going to do it for a third of that price. It says in verse 21, then all whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits were moved came and brought their sacred offering to the Lord. They brought all the materials needed for the tabernacle, for the performance of its rituals. Did I miss somewhere? Both men and women came, all whose hearts were willing, they brought to the Lord the offerings of God. Is that it? Help me out here, I'm losing my place here. Tabernacle, I lost my place. Brooches, earrings, rings from their fingers and necklaces, they presented gold objects of every kind as a special offering to the Lord. So the people of Israel, every man and woman who was eager to help in the work of the Lord, had given in through Moses. They brought their gifts and gave freely to the Lord. Then they went to Moses and they reported. They said, the people have given more than enough materials to complete the job the Lord has commanded us to do. So Moses gave the command and this message was sent throughout the camp. Men and women, don't prepare any more gifts for the sanctuary. We have enough. So the people stopped bringing their sacred offerings. Their contributions were more than enough to complete the whole project. Now I can promise you right now, the moment that we get to the point where we have more than what we need, I'll let you know. Alright?
Yeah.
But right now, the cupboard is bare. Mother Hubbard's cupboard is bare right now. We have used all the finances that we have, and for us to continue right now, we need you to appear. For us to continue the work. We've got Chris ready to finish off the demolition this week. His team's ready Monday. And I believe that we have everything that we need. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So I'm going to ask you today, I thank those who have given toward this. Thank you for your faithfulness. I mean, if everyone in here today said, Pastor Steve, I'll write a check for $1,000. We could stop talking about this. We can get it done. But I know there's people who'd like to give $1,000 today. They would if they could, but they can't. So that's why whatever you can do, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to ask us just to stand ready.
And I'm going to ask you to give the people a moment. Don't rush them. I'm going to ask you for a moment to just bow your head if you would. Because the Bible says that we should give as we purpose in our heart. And the reason it says we should give as we purpose in our heart is because that's where God speaks to you. God speaks to you down in your heart. So I want to ask you to listen down in your heart and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? Lord, everything I have is yours. All my money is yours. Everything I own, all belongs to you. To the dust, from the dust we came and to the dust we return. We ain't taking nothing with us. Let me tell you, everything belongs to the Lord, whether you realize it or not, it all belongs to Him. You're just using it while you're on the earth. So that's why you purpose in your heart, Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? Lord, thank you for speaking to your people. Thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh. You're the God who provides. And I thank you, Lord, for every person who gives and every person who tithes. You promised. You said, Lord, that when we bring that tithe into the storehouse, you said you'd open the windows of heaven. And you said you would pour blessings upon us. You would pour blessings upon us. Thank you for pouring blessings upon your people. Lord, I thank you for doing supernatural financial miracles. I thank you, Lord, for lawsuits settled, for inheritances, for promotion, for new clients, for new ideas, for business opportunities. I thank you for supernatural favor. I thank you for debt cancellation. I thank you, Lord, for doing financial miracles for your people as they give and support your house. You said, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added to you. I thank you, Lord, as we put your kingdom first, as we build your house, that you build ours. As we take care of your house, you take care of ours. As we seek you first, you cause all things to be added to us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Say this. Say, thank you, Lord, that the windows of heaven are open above me. Thank you, Lord, that blessings are chasing me down and overtaking me. Thank you that I'm surrounded by your favor. And people want to bless me. People want to promote me. People want to do business with me. People want to be good to me. Because I am surrounded by God's favor. Thank you, Lord, for supplying all my needs. Thank you, Father. I'll lend and I'll borrow. Thank you for prospering me, Lord, and increasing me so that I can be a bigger giver into your kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. I'm going to ask that we have, in a moment, Amy and Bobby, in a moment, just give me a moment, they're going to come and sing. Amy and her sister Amanda. Where's Amanda at? Well, she's there too, all right. Amy and Amanda, you may remember, part of our church and part of our worship team, and went over to Bible school in Tampa, Rodney Howard Brown's. They've been there for 2 years, I think, now. And she told me this week we were in spring break and we'd be in church and drove from Tampa. And I said, well, you remember it's time change? And said, oh, yeah, remember. I think they left at like 5 or 6 o'clock this morning. What time? 5:30 they left to drive over to be here at church today. So we're glad to see them. And in a moment they're going to come again. I just asked if they would come and sing, and they're going to come and bless you before we leave today. But before they do that, I want to remind you all, please, that this Friday night, Clayton Jennings is going to be right here in this room, except we'll have the third, that wall will be gone, all the way to the back. Clayton Jennings is going to be here on Friday night. Amen? And I want to encourage you, you need to get a ticket at claytonjennings.com. Tickets are only $10. And it's not ours. We're supporting it. It's not our event, but we're supporting Clayton. He's doing a 52-city tour preaching the gospel. How many of you know that the hope for America is Jesus?
Yeah.
I said, how many of you know the hope for America is Jesus? Yeah. The hope for America is Jesus. Yeah. The best thing you can do is be preaching the gospel, preaching Jesus across America. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
The best thing we can do is get prayer back into schools. Get prayer back into schools. Right? So I want to just show you this video real quick from Clayton, and then Amy and Bobby are going to listen to the song, and then I'm going to close. Is that good?
Yeah.
Thank you, Miguel. And Ushers.
Yeah. Clayton Jennings, CFC.
Go ahead, Miguel.
I'll be
you so much. I love your pastor. I love your pastor's wife. They are close friends of mine, and I care so much about them and your church. And I'm so excited to tell you that my crusade will be stopping at your church on 316. 316, John 3:16. That's exactly what we're going to be doing, is preaching the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want you to do something for me. First off, show up. Pastor Steve is going to have all the info for you. If you're watching this online, all the info is in the description somewhere. But I also want you to go beyond just showing up yourself. I want you to bring somebody. Bring someone who doesn't know Jesus. Bring someone who's struggling with their faith. Bring somebody. Don't let them miss this opportunity. And it's not because of who's coming to preach, but it is because of the message that will be preached, and that message is the gospel. I believe that America is on the brink of a great revival. We're preaching 52 cities across the nation on this great crusade. One of those special stops is CFC Jupiter, and I want y'all to be there. I can't wait to see you. Bring people. 316. Let's tell people about Jesus that can save anyone and everyone. I love you so much. Bye.
Praise God. Ushers, you can go ahead. Why don't you give a big round of applause as Bobby and Manny and Amanda.
So we're using Amanda. It's what Paul and Silas did before they invented nightstands.
Thank you.
Service. Jesus gave his life. We remember, we celebrate Jesus gave his life and that he rose from the dead. Family, let's come and celebrate Jesus. Easter's a big event for the Christian, for us Christians, and a good opportunity to invite someone to come to church Easter service. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad to be here today. You're going to have a great week this week. Tell them, stay seated. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time. Thank you, all our volunteers, our setup team, our children's workers, our greeters. Thank you, all our volunteers. We appreciate you, don't we? God bless you, everybody.